Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
In a society where busyness is encouraged, some of us have come up with a solution for our prayer time. It's called multitasking. And we back it up with 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, "Pray without ceasing." But the Bible also says, "Be still and know I am God." And Jesus often went off alone to pray. Today we are discussing some of the ways busyness gets a stronghold. So join in the conversation as we find the root to a lifestyle of busyness. This is a really tough subject today, Janie, because some people are so busy it becomes part of their identity. And while others are simply just exhausted from all the demands around them and really have no idea how to stop.
Well, and how do I live in a performance-driven and conditional accepted dominated environment once I have tasted freedom? How can I rest when everyone else demands busyness? Mm-hmm. It's the culture, it's the lifestyle.
Right.
What do you mean just being quiet before the Lord? Mm-hmm. Don't you see that we're born for good works? That requires busyness. How do I show and experience grace when others continue to place themselves under law and draw me back under that, which is always a state of busyness?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do I walk in the Spirit when I live in a legalistic society? And that legalistic society is as dominant within the body of Christ and church as the world.
And you know, all of those are very valid questions. And we find ourselves there asking those questions.
And there's a portion of Scripture that I'd like to just kind of open up with to set the tone. Because it tells us where we are and where we want to go.
Okay.
And it's found in Psalms 4, and it says, "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love worthlessness?" I think we could probably just substitute the word busyness, "and seek falsehood. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him, not when I do my own independent thing and ask him to endorse it."
Exactly.
Or rubber stamp
me.
Mm-hmm. And then it says, "Be angry and do not sin." Well, why is he saying be angry? Well, because the sons of men are turning the glory into shame. And if we're a child of God, we recognize that in our spirit, even if we cannot get a handle on it in our condition and our performance. So he says, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord, not in your busyness."
Yeah.
Why don't we take a couple of current day examples, because all the gadgets that have been made for us to give us more time are not working. We now have quit driving the little back roads, and we are driving the expressways, which are busy. And if you try going too slow on an expressway, you can cause havoc in somebody else's life, because people are not ready to wait on the Lord. That's old-fashioned. That's out of date.
Right.
Get current with the culture. Well, if the worldly culture has invaded the church culture, then we need to reevaluate. And that's what we're really wanting to do today.
Right.
So in checking busyness, we found that there's different heart motives. It's just not one flat reason. When I talked to people this week, everybody I talked to said, "Oh, we want to tune in and listen because we've got that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how to unbusy."
And I don't think any of us are exempt from being busy, whether we have careers or whether we're stay-at-home moms.
So what if we do take the mother with two children, three dogs, nice husband, and she is She is a wife, a mother, and a Christian-minded woman who wants to have a part. And she's trying to juggle everything with a busyness. Mm-hmm. And she's got competition. She's got competition from the school. She's got competition from the multifaceted good things that the world wants to require of her children.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband, when he comes home, he would like to have 30 minutes of absolute quiet. But there's been so much go wrong at the house.
That he gets hit at the door?
That he gets hit with the honey-do list. And then we hurry through supper, and then we get on with the things that we need to do for tomorrow. And where does the intimacy go? Where does the time to build a relationship go?
There are so many things that are required of moms these days. And with careers added on top of that, you know, and the kids going to activities and church activities, school activities, I mean, where do you unplug?
Well, and nowadays, I feel like we will wind up hearing this said to us. We interrupt this friendship to bring you the latest news from your phone, your TV, and social media. So how do you have an intimate relationship when your life is public? It goes against every principle that God has set down.
Right.
But we don't want to set a tone where someone's going to say, are they teaching me quietism to where I just pull away from society and everybody and just me and thee, Lord, and nobody else, and I don't reach out? We know we've been called to good works, but Sharon, not dead works.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's done in our own independence, then we've got dead works going, which are not going to go anywhere.
Right.
So Adam and Eve really are the culprits once again to beginning.
Poor life. Adam and Eve.
They get blamed for everything, don't they? And yet, when they chose to go independent, apart from being dependent on God, who came to communicate with them in the still of the evening, and that tradition, if you even want to call it that, has gone on for millennia until of the more recent generations.
Mm-hmm.
And now with progress and development, we've lost the inner quietness.
Yeah, we can find ourselves so pushed by the desires of the people that we serve that we can feel overwhelmed. Like, well, this person needs me and that person needs me, and I committed to this and I committed to that. And, you know, I didn't realize that those overlapped. How am I going to get rid of one of those so that I'm not, you know, calling myself a liar when I'm not following through with my commitments? So, you know, we find ourselves in these situations, and then all of a sudden something pops up at school, because they don't let you know till last minute that things are going on at school. And so you overcommit without even realizing that you're overcommitting.
And then you have those that are supposed to be supporting in a ministry, and then for reasons legitimate, sickness, other outside issues. And then what we say is, we've got to pick up the ball. We've got to be the bottom line. We've got to fulfill this. And we don't consult the Lord if that door is really being opened to us. We just jump in and say, we've got to cover the basis, which is admirable in the thinking. But if it destroys the principle.
And a lot of times it's our family that suffers the consequences
most of the time
of us being too busy. Even if we're taking our kids to every sporting event that they get involved in, activity, whether it's band or scouts or cheerleading or whatever it may be, we can have our kids involved in all of those activities and still they are suffering from the relationship, because they're the center of our focus as far as, you know, allowing them to do activities, but not the center of our focus as far as allowing them to be a part of our lives.
That's true. And we, without us realizing it, we are creating a callousness, a superficiality, and even a resentment towards us as their authority. That can get transferred even over to, let's jump to a different category. Let's say we have a big executive, a corporate lawyer, and he never has time to be alone and think his own thoughts, because he must always be thinking the thoughts in behalf of others.
Right.
And so for him, a 30-minute lunch is like a mini vacation.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, God, where are you? I have a family to support, and I want to worship you. But there's no time to worship.
There's no time.
And we know that that's a lie. Mm-hmm. But the pressures of fulfilling the responsibilities become greater than waiting on the Lord to see him deliver. And you know what, Sharon? If we choose to go that way, the Lord will let us.
Mm-hmm.
And then in his still small voice, he will be waiting on us. You know, there's a scripture that says that there was an earthquake and then there was a fire, but he was not in those big eye opener natural disasters that should have gotten everybody's attention and did, but he was in the still small voice. Well,
we're missing it.
And if we are not quiet, we're not going to hear that still small voice. And then, you know, we've got a college student. Now here's another heart issue. And he wants to be, or she wants to be, a testimony on the campus, or maybe it's even the high school.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to perform, or she's got to perform, because they're comparing themselves with the other people, and they must make the grade, and they can't afford to be slovenly, because we are called to excel.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to maximize everything. Where have you heard that phrase before? I mean, we maximize our food. We maximize our options.
Would you like to supersize that?
Would you like to supersize your Christianity and take on two more things?
Mm-hmm.
And we are, I think what we're wanting to express today is busyness is not hardness of heart, but it is a lifestyle produced by self-reliance. And self-reliance still goes back to a root sin of pride. We think we can do for the Lord what he has said he must do for us, and we don't know how to find the balance. And so that's what we really want to dwell on.
Really, it is. It's tough to implement unbusyness. Well, once we've gotten busy, it's like untangling the cords behind your computer. You know what I'm saying?
Talk to me about that.
So when we get our cords all tangled up behind our computer and we're trying to untangle them, there is no way possible to untangle many of those cords unless you unplug.
Mm-hmm.
You have to unplug, and it is impossible to unplug without turning something off.
Well, I know here at the station, if we have to unplug certain things to see about other things, we can go off the air.
Right.
And you know what? We don't want that fear, and we don't want that fear in real life. How can we be quiet for even a season? And again, we're not asking somebody to come apart and go live on the mountain, because we're called to good works, but we may have to be set apart. That's why I read, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. None of us are going to hear today's conversation and be able to say, okay, I'm stopping that as of today, no more. This is something that we have to work at, the busyness that we have in our life. It creates with establishing a different mindset. And that's what we want to do today, is say, stop, look, and listen.
In order for us to clean up our busyness, like I said, it's much like untangling the cords in the back of our computer. You know, when you look at the back of a computer and all the cords are tangled up and you don't know what goes to what, because they're so intertwined. That's what our busyness looks like. We're so entwined in so many things that it's impossible to untangle that busyness without unplugging. So I would say the first thing we need to do is unplug some things and figure out what goes to what and what's the most important and how can I organize this a little better.
And then start to make a small change, even if it's just a small change one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've had to implement is, because I know that the Holy Spirit dwells within, when I wake up of a morning, I say, where do I want to visit with you, Holy Spirit? Do I want to commune with you right here and now because it's the most important thing? or I need to adjourn myself to the living room or the kitchen for a while. And then I try to remember he's sitting there waiting for me to return to him. And will I make a willful choice to put the phone calls and the things that really I need to get off my mind so I can get on with the day? Will I say, no, I'm making a choice to lay everything aside because, Lord Jesus, you can hold those immediate needs until I have had the most important need, and that is spending time with you. John Piper states, it is an amazing thing beyond all words that we have a God whose nature is such that what pleases him is not our work for him, but our need for him. And when we see that we have a need to get through the day, a lot of times our pain is so intense physically or emotionally, and that's where we have to come for him to get our attention, for us to see that we need him.
Yeah. And many times, you know, going back to the analogy of the computer cords, you know, we'll run out of plugs.
Yeah.
And so we'll unplug God for just today, you know, just for today, just for right now. I'll plug him back in later.
And he'll understand.
Mm-hmm. And so we plug in whatever it is that we have to do right then, that morning, first thing. And then later turns into next week and next month. And, you know, it just goes on and on. And pretty soon, where did God go?
We unplugged
from him.
And we developed a habit and a lifestyle that put him on the back burner.
And so that really goes with what Jesus speaks of in Matthew 13 when he talks about the parable of the sower.
Mm.
He gives four different illustrations about the parable of the sower when they hear the word of God. And in 13:22, he says, he also that received seed among seed being the word, among the thorns, is he that hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we find ourselves in a state of unfruitfulness where we are jumping from one thing to another and we feel exhausted and we're just not producing anything at all, you know, we can look at Scripture and see what is going on in our lives, and we need to plug back in to God and his goodness, his word, his, and not just from Scripture, but his word as we pray. You know, he can speak to us through the Holy Spirit if we will listen.
And then that is true life. And to dovetail on where you are in Matthew, if we go to Luke 18, verses 18 to 27, we have the story of the rich young ruler. Now, he was doing everything. He was super busy because he had amassed fortunes. Mm-hmm. And yet he knew there was something that needed to be adjusted so that he could be right with the master. And so the Lord said, go and sell all your possessions. Leave what you consider important. And he had to be very busy to have amassed that wealth. Sell all your possessions and follow me. And Sharon, he was so grieved, that is the rich young ruler, that he would have to become unbusy and just follow the master, that he went away unchanged. And sometimes when we hear the truth, it is so foreign to the lifestyle. And I think probably we need to understand that we are taught from birth to be independent. Oh, they took the first steps. Yeah. Oh, they can hold the spoon. We're taught to be independent.
Feed yourself.
That's right. And then we find Jesus Christ, or he finds us, and all of a sudden, that mindset that we've had for years now says we go from being independent, which we considered a virtue, and a stepping stone of growing, to having to do a complete reversal and become dependent.
Born again.
Born. And that is a process of undoing. Mm-hmm. And so everyone that is shaking their head saying, yes, sister, teach it, teach it, teach it, because that's where I am today. We need to understand that that the Holy Spirit will be faithful, but we will have to be faithful. And every time He speaks to us in that still small voice, to obey. Right. And it may be that we are just going to start off with 15 minutes of change, but that's a beginning.
Yeah, and one of the things that has become really popular in our culture today is using an adapter where we plug two things into one outlet, uh-huh. And we always want to use an adapter where God is. So we want to plug God in with other things in our lives.
Good point.
So we're running around. We're just going to spend time with God all day, but we don't really. I mean, we're plugged into the same outlet, and the thing that is right here in front of us gets the most attention. And that's much like if our spouse chose to plug us in with their TV time, their reading time, their sports time, you know, we wouldn't feel very valuable.
How would you like it if your husband came to you and said, honey, I would like to have some really quiet, intimate time with you. I brought my calendar to see when we could schedule some.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a paradox. And, you know, yeah. We laugh at it because of the stupidity, but that's what we're doing. We are meeting mm-hmm. God by appointment.
Right, right. And so that doesn't produce a healthy relationship with our spouse. So it's not going to produce a healthy relationship with our Lord either. And so Jesus speaks of this in Matthew 22 when he talks about the parable of the wedding banquet and the marriage had been prepared and they made light of it. In Matthew 22, verse 5, it says, but they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And so many times, you know, we're thinking that we can just take God everywhere. Yes, we can. Absolutely. He is a part of us. We can speak to Him anytime we want. But don't make light of your Christian walk. And that's what many of us are doing. We're making light of the fact that we can spend time with Him anywhere. So we're not making time for Him special apart from the other busyness. We're plugging Him in with other things. And it's causing an overload because we're not relying on God as our power source.
Well, and he said that he's not going to share himself as second best. And one group of people in the Bible were the disciples. They were with God in flesh for 3 years. And yet they were pretty clueless. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They had an agenda. Their agenda was to get an earthly kingdom set up for their master. So when the little ones wanted to come unto him, it didn't fit their earthly agenda. So they said, don't let them come. We've got another agenda. And so the warning we should see is that here we have people walking with God Almighty in the flesh, and they've got their own agenda, and they can't see what they're doing, even when they have God in the flesh, because their agenda is so important. So we probably need to lay our agenda at the foot of the cross, don't Amen. We?
Yes. Yeah. We need to figure out what we can unplug from and stop unplugging God. We unplug Him way too many times and plug in other things. And we need to learn to figure out what else we can unplug, because God is the most important aspect of our Christian life, because without Him, we have nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing.
He is the one essential. He is the breath,
yes.
The life, the way. And apart from Him, we are doomed not only in a position, but in a condition. Yes. So we must have Him first. And sometimes that can be hard choices. But hopefully today, we've pulled back a couple of layers of that onion mm-hmm. to see the need for change.
That's right. And hopefully open some eyes to see how the busyness lifestyle has been holding us in bondage. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzlib saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.